Morning, friends. Welcome to the service this morning on this lovely spring day. It's so nice to have a little bit of warmth and a little bit of sunshine and a little bit of difference. And maybe COVID will be something of the past shortly. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 114. And I read, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? O mountains, that you skipped like rams? O little hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of water. On that happy note, I share the notices with you, and our birthdays for this coming week are on the 14th, Esther Besaidnote, the 15th, Brandon Smith, on the 16th, Kumatsu Pala, on the 17th, Johan Jackson, Mandy Becker, Shamisu Salome, Zachary Skippers. On the 18th, Carol Gordon and Thea Khan. The 19th, Vickery James, Lizette Emily. And then the 20th, which I'm sure will be repeated again, is Greer Maddox, Tanaka Mandazivi, and Nyakulu Tabate. The other notices are there for your perusal. We continue with our virtual messages and services. Hopefully in around about October, we will be going into having church services where we can see one another again. I just need to thank you for your continued support of the church. Whether you listen to the worship, whether you listen to the messages and read them, whether you're just praying for everybody, but thank you to everybody who has contributed in some way or other. Just a couple of other little things. Everything is still in recess. But there are some questions and quizzes for you to just read through. And then we just want to say thank you to Johan, who has been doing the food parcels this week. Thank you very much. And it's great to have Nombulelo back after her bereavement and her short illness, and we wish her well in her final preparations for ordination next month. Right, we start off our worship this morning as we sing together, What the Lord Has Done in Me.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Thank you. is what the Lord has done in me.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for another day, another week, exciting things that happen in our lives. But above all, we give you thanks because you are God. You are our Father. You are the one who guides us through everything. You are the one who leads us. You are the one who does so much. And so often we just take things for granted. But this morning we want to come and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the amazing love which you continue to pour out upon us. Thank you for friends and family. And above all, and thank you for the privilege of being able to meet with you and to share with you. Lord, too, do we come before you to say how sorry we are that we do take you for granted, that we do sometimes do things and we don't even acknowledge you in the whole process. Sometimes we do things and we forget that you are even part of our lives. And Lord, for those times we want to say, I'm sorry. Sorry that we neglect you and shut you out. Sorry that we don't always meet up with the people that we should, that we don't reach out enough, that we don't spend enough time with you. But Lord, as we come to you and confess, we also want to say thank you that you hear us. That you hear us and out of your great love, you forgive us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you will come. Come and pour yourself out upon your people. Come and be with us. Come and guide us. Come and lead us up the mountains. And so we say together that wonderful prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and I read from the 21st verse. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus looked at him. I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when they had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him his debt. He went out and found one of his fellow servants who had owed him 1,000 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me. I will pay you all that I can." But he wouldn't. He went on and threw him into prison until he should pay back the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were so grieved that they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have had pity on you?" His master was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that he was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, each of you, if you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. So far do we read from Holy Scripture. Thanks to the Lord for his word. Well, as you've gathered, our topic this morning is forgiveness. There's a story in New Mexico where a gentleman by the name of Luciano, he was about 81, caught a mouse in his house. He wanted to get rid of it, and as he was burning leaves outside, he caught this mouse, carried it out, and threw it into the fire. According to the chief fire commander, the burning mouse ran back into the house, and the flames spread and burnt the house down. The chief went on to reply that he'd never seen a house fire started by a malicious mouse. Oh, the power of revenge. And so I refer to our reading again this morning in Matthew about the unforgiving servant and forgiving God. I think Corona has forced us to stay in, and many of us have become pretty much housebound. And with this comes so many other issues when we are in close proximity with people all the time. People are getting tired of one another. Those that have been in lockdown together, we have already heard of so many divorce cases that have been filed. We've heard that money is becoming a major stress problem in people's lives, as so many have lost their jobs. People are incredibly sensitive about so many things, because emotions are running raw. One just has to look at the whole Clicks episode of this past week, and one wonders, had it not been for COVID, if people's thoughts would have been quite so emotional. But I want to say that it's time to get on our knees and ask God for grace and patience, to love each other in spite of our differences. And today we're going to look at the symptoms and effects of unforgiveness and how forgiveness frees us. I think the first problem with unforgiveness is denial, because nobody thinks they are unforgiving. There is what they call a blind spot. Researchers will call it a halo effect. Because people see their good points and overlook their bad. They think they're all good and they don't see the bad within them. And this often gives us a misconception that we are better than we are. We easily see the shortcomings of other people, of our spouses, extended family, work associates. And therefore it's easy to sit in judgment. And that's because they are so much worse than us. But I think so many of us lie to ourselves. So here are some of the signs of unforgiveness that we so often deny. Most times when you see a person, you can't help thinking of what they did in the past. It might be a brother or a sister, it might just be a family member, it might be an associate. And when you see that person, all the feelings well up inside you again. Or maybe you see someone in the store. And instead of going up to chat to them, you move in the opposite direction to avoid eye contact. Maybe it's just someone in the family and you're busy giving them the silent treatment. These are all signs of unforgiveness, things that haven't yet been settled within our lives. And an evangelist once said, there is one sin Christians have more than any other. That is the one sin which holds out back the power of God more than any other sin. And that is the sin of unforgiveness. The second point I want to make is, how does unforgiveness affect you? How does it affect you as a person? It makes you a prisoner of your past. Because you cannot forgive, you are shacked up with the past. It keeps you bound. It keeps you enchained. It keeps the pain of the wrong alive because you dwell on it, you think about it. It keeps the sore open as you go through life. It stirs up the pain. And sometimes it stirs up the anger. And friends, I want to say that is the thing that robs you of the joy of living today. Forgiving others sets you free from the past. And while it keeps us as prisoners, it also locks out God's forgiveness. Matthew 16 verses 14 to 15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. You see, friends, if you don't forgive, we can no longer be forgiven. And so you destroy the bridge over which you must travel. We said the Lord's Prayer earlier, and it's dangerous because we are saying, God, treat me like I want to treat others. Forgive me like I forgive others. The bitterness will imprison you like an acid that corrodes. So I'm asking this morning, forgive for your own sake. So you may say to me, well, Di, how can I be freed? You see, friends, forgiveness is like cancelling a debt. To forgive the costs. Because salvation is free, but it costs Jesus. I repeat, forgiveness costs. Salvation is free. And salvation is free because it costs Jesus. If you take the word grace, and you use the letters in the word grace, it spells out God's riches at Christ's expense. God doesn't overlook our sin, but he sent Jesus to pay the debt for us. And so he remembers our sin no more. There is no more hostility towards us because we have done wrong. I want to say sometimes it helps to write down the offense that you have against you. And then say in prayer, paid for by the suffering of Christ. You cut the connection and let it go. I want to say this morning, forgiveness is possible. And maybe I can share a little story at this stage to illustrate this. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch girl who helped the Jews escape from Germany. The family, her family, was caught and sent to a Nazi concentration camp. And they were victims of the atrocities, and only Corrie survived. She wrote her account in an amazing book called The Hiding Place. If you ever get the opportunity, do read it. She became a famous speaker in churches at so many conventions. And her main topic was always forgiveness. And once she finished talking, a man came to her, a face familiar, forever etched in her mind, the worst of the German gods. He came to her and extended a hand. He says, I've become a Christian, and I want to ask you to forgive me for what I did to you and your sister. She froze. A chill went through her. The man who represented evil in its worst form And she thought to herself, I can't forgive you. I don't have the power to forgive, nor do I want to forgive. And so she breathed a prayer to God and said, please, Lord, help me to forgive this man. And as an act of an obedience, she put out her hand. And when her hand touched his, liquid love began to flow. And she said, I found out that God's grace was sufficient. And I forgave him. And so I come to you this morning and saying we need to seriously consider this whole thing about forgiveness. We need to see the things which have been done. And I give you an illustration from the arts. Leonardo da Vinci, just before he painted The Last Supper, had a violent argument with a fellow painter. He was so bitter that he wanted to paint the face of the other painter in the face of Judas. Everything went well as he painted the upper room and the disciples, but when he came to the face of Christ, he could make no progress. Something held him back. And after much thought and reflection, he came to the conclusion his frustration, his inability to be more creative, was because he had painted his enemy's face in the face of Judas. He picked up the brush and brushed out the face of Judas. This time he was successful in capturing the holy nature and pure character in the face of Christ. So my challenge is this. Do you have someone you need to forgive? Are you willing to let go and take God at his word? Because I want to say to you this morning, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, there are so many people that we have on our prayer list, and we lift them up to you. People that we haven't seen for a while, but people that are in our thoughts and our minds nonetheless. And in particular, we think of Bev Rogers and her family with their bereavement. Lord, be with the family. Be with all those who have lost loved ones and the memories still linger. Lord, we lift up the people that are feeling emotionally very down and far away from you. We ask that you will be with them, that you will draw them close and let them know that you are there. We pray for our country, our leaders. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them wisdom to stay focused on you and to take this beautiful land that we live in to new heights. We pray for the ministers and the people that are delivering your word today. And we ask that you will be with them and may your word reach out to everybody and touch their hearts. And so, Father, we pray for ourselves and say that where there is unforgiveness in my heart, take it away. Wash me clean and allow me to say like Corrie, surely your grace is sufficient for me. And with you, all things are possible. Amen. For those of you that have contributed financially, we say thank you. We have been able to meet our assessments up to now. Things are tough, things are tight, but we give you thanks nonetheless. Thank you for your continued willingness to give. And so in closing, we sing together a wonderful hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.